Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use continues now. This is indeed the broadcast for April the 4th in the year of our Lord, 2016, hour 2 at 2. The goal, to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Hope you had a delightful weekend. Welcome to the broadcast. Kurt, you with me?
Buenos dias.
Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're welcome, sir. Last hour was a treasure trove of information. Check it out. It'll be up soon, libertyroundtable.com. All right. I want to talk about this. Donald Trump and his abortion comments. He first said, hey, women and those who perform abortions ought to be guilty. We got to make abortions illegal, and we got to get on this. And there ought to be accountability here. Then he backed away. Now he says the most interesting failed statement I've ever heard, Kurt. Poor Donald, he's just melting down, crumbling before the media. It all started when he decided to disavow Sam Bushman and James Edwards. He just melted down ever since then, Kurt, interestingly enough. Now, the headline says this, and again, if Donald feels like the headline's not fair, he's more than welcome to come on the radio with us. We've invited him at our expense in an open letter that he's ignored as well. But the headline says this, Kurt. Trump's surrogate, in other words, somebody speaking for Trump, if you will, Roe versus Wade is not going to be overturned. We all know that. Republican presidential frontrunner Donald Trump said on Friday that he does not believe laws regulating abortion should change, despite saying he agreed the controversial procedure was murder. So I don't know how to respond to that, Kurt, but they're going to go into this mix saying Roe versus Wade will never change. We know that. Forget it. And we know it's murder, but yet we don't think the laws should change. He's backed into such a compromised state on that, Kurt, that he's lost, in my opinion, any possible hope that I could even consider voting for him. What I find fascinating is nobody in the mix has challenged those comments or stood up for a more pro-life message, as far as I can tell. What do you think, Kurt? You want to chime in on this?
So after that, are you a big Cruz supporter now, Sam?
No. That's what I'm saying. I don't see that Cruz really doubled down on anything. Where's all the congressmen and senators and presidential candidates and everybody else that should be pro-life going, Trump, what are you doing? What are you thinking? Why would you say such a thing? If it's murder, there ought to be accountability. And if it's murder, the laws ought to be changed. We as a nation can't support murder. Where are the people standing up for the pro-life message right now, Kurt? This is a golden opportunity to go on record.
Well, there's so many of them that, in my opinion, have left this issue and said, well, it's just already been decided. The Supremes have already done that. Let's leave it alone and try to win something else. But in my opinion, I don't know what else is more important than protecting life.
Well, and I think there's been more legislative efforts to protect life across the country in the states, in the several states, than there has been in many years preceding. And so I think it's worth an effort, worthy of a cause. I think we ought to really talk about this and focus on this and see what we can gain. Like I said last hour, you know what? Solutions are gained incrementally, Kurt. That's one thing the Patriots need to learn. They want an all or nothing. They want a one election cycle solution. It isn't going to happen. They want like a TV show answer. Oh, man, you know what? MacGyver solved it in 30 minutes. We can solve it, too. No, it doesn't work that way, people. And I'm submitting to you that incremental gains are the answer. And first, you just simply get taxpayer-funded abortions gone. That should be easy to do. The second thing then you do is you work on saying, you know what? The clearest, easiest one is when a woman just wants to avoid the consequences of her decisions. In other words, we're not talking about rape or incest or the life of the mother's in question. We're talking about just clear abortions where somebody's an adult, they're accountable for their actions, and they want to kill a baby. Hey, that's a clear, easy one to deal with. We shouldn't allow that stuff. And you can take on the simpler issues first, Kurt. The partial birth abortion issue is another good example. You know what? We know the babies feel pain. That's been proven. And we should simply stop those partial birth abortions. There's a lot of areas in which we could gain serious ground, and it's not even that controversial, Kurt.
It's a great point.
So for those who say that Sam Bushman runs around with complaints and doesn't have solutions, I just laid out three of them. And in my opinion, it's some of the most important things we should be focusing on as a nation, as a people. If we can't protect the most innocent life among us, I don't know what other issues are more important, Kurt. I mean, I could say the Federal Reserve and getting honest money is a close second. I could say that getting government out of indoctrination or education would be third, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you got a rich environment for sure, but I would say pro-life. Look, the whole purpose, the whole proper role of government is to protect life, liberty, and property.
Yep.
I don't see what's more fundamental than that. And really, these conservatives, these Republicans expect me to vote for them. And they're not at all going to really even talk about this or stand up when the doors. I mean, Kurt, you can even go. You can even carry this issue on the swinging door of somebody else. And this is so fundamental that they should jump in here, and that's why I am doing so. But who's with me, Kurt? Am I all by myself almost?
It's the silence is deafening, I'd say, in this case. So, Sam.
Yeah, man, I feel kind of like I'm John the Baptist. I'm like a lone voice in the wilderness and stuff.
Yeah,
now, don't get me wrong. I'm not in any way suggesting I'm a John Baptist. I'm just suggesting that I feel so alone in this fight. I don't really feel like people are supporting me very well. I mean, where are these people that should be standing up right now? But they're not focused on that, Kurt. In fact, what they're focused on... is GOP chairman, what's this guy's name, Rince Priebus or whatever?
I call him Prince Rebus.
Have you heard about this guy, what he's doing?
Everybody else calls him Rince Priebus. Well, in what particular instance? I mean, he's kind of a busy guy lately, you know, Sam, with the whole contested convention idea and stuff like that. He's moving around quick.
Well, the interesting thing is, I guess CNN's Jake Tapper,
yeah. JT,
suggested that Donald Trump is chasing away a lot of potential voters. Tapper brought up voting data that supposedly shows a slump for Trump, especially with ethnic minorities. Now, what I find fascinating is that Priebus says that his party is focused on the general election now. So he says, while there's drama on our side of the aisle, the Democrats have bigger drama. The Democratic Party's on the verge of a fiasco. Now, Priebus appeared to issue a warning to Donald Trump, reneging on Trump's earlier promise to support the eventual nominee. That may have consequences. So let me get this straight. Donald Trump can't renege, but everybody else can renege, Curtis. Kind of the idea from the Prince, right?
Yeah.
Trump has called the system of choosing delegates at the national convention unfair and has said that the nomination should be given to him even if he should have fewer than the currently required 1,237 votes.
Well, yeah. I mean, at least there's certainly the argument that, hey, they just change the rules anytime based on what especially the establishment or the insiders want. That's why they changed it the way that was last time with the whole Ron Paul thing. They had to have so many wins or else you couldn't even be considered, and they did it just specifically to stop Ron Paul.
But it's okay when they do it.
Yeah, well, that's the point. And, you know, at least in my opinion, Trump's right when he says, hey, man, you know, the leader of the game should be the nominee because at least he certainly got the, what do you call it, the most votes. you know, and they certainly shouldn't bring somebody out of nowhere just to say, hey, you're the anointed one. I'm telling you, they're asking for trouble. But, you know, I'm not really here to explain how the Republicans ought to do it. I mean, I used to be a, quote, good Republican years ago. I mean, I was a campaign judge and all that kind of stuff, and even ran as a Republican several times. But, man, that party, like most parties that I can think of, left me a long time ago.
You got that right. We'll talk about that. Pete's coming up. He wants to chime in. We'll do that in seconds. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. Third parties, are they alive? We'll talk about that, too. Even the USA Today is talking about third parties now. Time will tell, huh? Keep your eye on the ball. I wish the party was over. Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, so the battle rages on. Pete wants to chime in. Hi, Pete.
Oh, hi, Sam. How are you doing today?
Marvelous, sir.
Great. As I listen to your broadcast, I keep hearing you say that you wrote a letter to Donald Trump and he hasn't responded. But I don't know. Could it be me? But was Donald Trump on your show? I don't believe he was. I thought it was his son. So why didn't you write a letter to his son and have him come back on and explain himself? because writing a letter, that's kind of like buying a Honda and then complaining to Toyota because they're both Japanese companies that it doesn't work. You know, I think I would have broke down and written one to his son. I think he would have got a response. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know.
All right. Well, your point's a good one. Maybe I should tweak my letter and send it to Donald Trump Jr. But let me tell you what I actually did, just so you kind of understand. I wrote an open letter to Donald Trump, published it to the world. It's on many websites, including LibertyRoundtable.com. I interviewed Donald Trump's son. That's true. However, Donald and his son have both kind of disavowed us and basically said, you know what? We don't go along with this. Trump's son disavowed us. But Trump's son was acting as a surrogate for Donald Trump Sr. to promote the Donald Trump for President campaign. And so when this happens, I then write an open letter and I send it to the campaign. And I send it to several media outlets because of the misrepresentations that not only the mainstream press gave us, but the disavowing that Donald Trump Jr. gave us. Donald Trump Jr. has not been honest. And I think if Donald Trump Jr. is going to represent his father's campaign and Donald Trump Jr. is not being honest, then his father ought to work on it and straighten it out. Now, let me explain. When I say he's not being honest, Donald Trump Jr. said that we put James Edwards on the radio. Donald Trump Jr. didn't really have a chance to know who he was. It was almost like he was saying we pulled a bait and switch cloak and dagger on Trump Jr., and he got abused by our intent. That's not true. If you listen to the interview, we clearly say James Edwards of the political cesspool is with us. Here he is, and he has some questions. Donald Trump agreed with everything James Edwards said on the interview. So the idea that it's cloak and dagger is bogus. Donald Trump also said that they did not reach out to us. Now, it's true that Donald Trump Jr. didn't reach out to us, but certainly through his booking agency, they did. And I released the emails to prove it. And the mainstream press doesn't care. And Donald Trump continues with his statements. I find it wrong. I appeal to the leader of the campaign to correct surrogates on the road on his behalf. Now, you would say, well, Sammy gets too many letters. He's too popular. You're a nobody. And I would say, how many talk show hosts have been flat out lied about in the media and have been absolutely abused by misrepresentations that have written Donald Trump? And I bet you can count them on one hand, sir. And even if Trump himself doesn't respond, somebody in the campaign certainly should and can, including the son. And so in the email that I sent to the campaign, I said, please get this to Donald and Donald Jr. both. And either they never got it, or they got it and ignored me. Don't know, can't tell, can't find out either. So I would submit to you that I'm on pretty firm ground with that, sir. What do you say?
Well, that's a pretty good argument, but it's just I think I would have directed it at Donald Trump Jr. specifically. And as far as his campaign, whoever contacted you through the campaign, I'd give him a call. Because I heard
give who a call?
You're absolutely. I give whoever called you from the campaign.
No, they didn't call us. Hold on. A booking agency on behalf of the Donald Trump campaign had asked us to do this. Or, you know, said, hey, do you want to do an interview through an email? We wrote back and said, yes, we did, et cetera, et cetera. And then when I talked to this guy, he's just like, I know nothing about it. I don't know what to do about it. Why don't you get a hold of the campaign directly? Here's the information. We've contacted the campaign directly through email. The only good way we have to contact them, and there's no response, no matter what we do.
Unfortunate, because I heard the interview, and it was a great interview. I loved it. I didn't see anything. I don't know what they're talking about. As far as racism or anything like that. But I think basically the thrust of...
You also heard that we clearly identified James Edwards before he asked the questions, too. It wasn't some bait-and-switch game going on in any way.
Agreed. Yeah, nothing wrong with James. I mean, you guys were great. It was a great interview. I liked it. And I think Donald Trump Jr. enjoyed it also. He sounded like he was having fun. He stayed with you a little bit longer than he was supposed to.
Well, and he didn't disagree with anything, and he had every right, if he didn't agree with something, to say, wait a minute, I don't agree with that, or whatever. He did nothing of the sort, not even close.
Well, absolutely, but the questions, you know, the questions you guys were asking weren't really it wasn't like you were trying to pin him into a corner or anything.
We asked questions that we felt would be supportive of his campaign on purpose.
Absolutely. It was great. It was a great interview. I'd try him again. I think he'd probably come back on, because there's absolutely no way that you guys conducted an interview that was inappropriate, in my opinion. And I listened to the whole thing. I thought it was a great interview. So, but as far as Donald Trump goes, saying that Donald Trump didn't do that, he's running for president, but people do things out of the ordinary that are employed for you. And I know he's working, he's getting paid to do it. His son is getting paid. They're all getting paid. So, I'd go ahead and try and contact him.
All right, it's a good point. I'll see what I can do in my spare time. It's always a time issue as well. One last point I want to make about this is part of the reason that I appeal to Donald Trump Sr. about this is Donald has run around telling everybody what slime the media is. And if the media absolutely abuses a talk show host unfairly, as you wisely point out based on listening to the interview, wrongly attacks us, lies about us and everything else in the mainstream press, and then his son gets deceived by that same media and then disavows us, you would think Donald would say that's a big enough issue that I want to bring that up.
Well, that's the only, when you say his son disavowed you, the only person I've heard that from is you. I never saw anything.
Go look up the news articles, type in Sam Bushman, Donald Trump, James Edwards, Donald Trump, and you'll see basically that he basically disavowed me and James Edwards. He said, I didn't know that I was going to be on their program. We had no idea about it. We didn't reach out to them. We didn't realize these guys were racists, and they kind of did a bait and switch. I didn't really realize who was even on the other end of the phone. He kind of said that kind of stuff. Go look at the mainstream press. You'll see it.
I will. Well, let me ask you this, though. He said that he didn't know you guys were racists. Well, who told him that you were?
The mainstream press.
Oh, well, there.
That's my point, and that's why Donald Trump Sr. should be involved, because what he should do is stand up and say, look, I heard the interview. There's nothing racist in the interview. I may not agree with Sam or James on given issues, but this is American. People have the right to say and think what they want, and we stand by the interview. That's what they should have done, sir.
You never know. Something good. I think something good's going to come out of it, and I think you guys will be vindicated, because the mainstream media is really out there. I mean,
you're right. And we will, because we have some tricks up our sleeves that we're working on now that I can't go into, but I'm just telling you, this is a fiasco because the mainstream press lied, and they've tarnished my name. They've said I'm a racist. They have no evidence or proof of me being a racist in any way. You've listened to our show for literally, I don't know how many hours, Pete. Have you seen us do anything that smacks of intentional racism and or hatred to another because of their skin or their color?
No, not at all. You bring up issues that are hot in the press, that are hot over the Associated Press, and that are making headlines, then you bring those issues up, but you really don't. I've never heard you say anything racist, whatever that is.
Well, exactly, whatever that is, and here's the point. I'm a blind person, Pete. I don't even know what color you are.
Nor
do I care, and that's the whole reason the mainstream press doesn't have the guts to take me on about this directly. They just have to use their big media positions and sideswipe and abuse and be hostile to me, but they know it isn't true.
I know. They're out of their tree.
Thank you, sir. Gotta fly.
Okay, bye.
There he goes. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. The financial dealings of more than 200,000 companies, foundations, and trusts, as well as more than 100 politicians and public officials, have been laid bare in a massive leak called the Panama Papers. The trove of 11 million documents originated in a Panama-based law firm called Mossack Fonseca, which specializes in creating offshore shell companies for wealthy and well-connected interests. The leak includes emails, contracts, bank records, property deeds, and other privileged information spanning nearly four decades. The document cache contains information about 12 current or former heads of state, including Russian President Vladimir Putin, Chinese President Xi Jinping, former Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak, and former Brazilian President Lula da Silva. In 2012, the CIA proposed a covert action plan that would have removed Syrian President Bashar Assad, but it was turned down by President Obama, according to a new memoir by an agency field operative. Doug Lowe, who was a CIA liaison to Syrian rebel groups at the time, claims that they had come up with 50 good options to bring about the White House's stated objective of removing Assad, but political leadership rejected every one of them. Former CIA Director David Petraeus, who supported the plan, details of which have not been disclosed, believes that if carried out successfully, it would have averted the rise of ISIS and the European refugee crisis and prevented tens of thousands of civilian deaths. That opinion is not supported by others who are privy to that plan. Two groups of armed protesters faced off outside a mosque in Irving, Texas, under the watchful eyes of local police on April 2nd. For several weeks, a local group calling itself the Bureau of American Islamic Relations, or BAIR, its members wearing fatigues and carrying anti-Islamic protest signs, has been conducting armed demonstrations outside the Islamic Center of Irving. On Saturday, they were joined in the streets by armed black-clad members of the New Black Panther Party, who accused the BAIR of trying to intimidate and bully those who gather at the mosque to worship. The mosque, which is operated by the Nation of Islam, had planned an event to welcome local refugees, some, but not all of whom, were from Syria. Charges have reportedly been dismissed for dozens of bikers who were among the 177 arrested following the fatal shootings at Houston's Twin Peaks Bar and Grill last May, reports the Houston Chronicle. Nine were killed and two dozen wounded after shots were fired during a gathering of local motorcycle clubs.
If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, we're taking your calls. Pete was on last segment. Fred in Utah, you're up next, sir.
Hi. Sam, I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you and Kirk that you have this program. And the fact that my mother-in-law used to be is still living there, but is buried in cemetery in American Fork. So I just want to tell you that I appreciate your program very much. And also, I want to say that I want to, if you have time, make my point about Kasich and Donald
Trump. Okay, hold on. Before you go on to Kasich and Trump, thank you so much for your kind words, and our prayers are with your family about your mother and stuff like that. You know, life is a precious thing, sir, and it's important that we really focus on life and our heritage and our ancestors and who we are as a people and that kind of thing, and we celebrate all experiences from everyone. We believe that we should have special privileges for no one and equality for all, sir.
Yes, that's correct.
Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, John Kasich, I remember when the during the NAFTA debate, North American treaty with Canada and Mexico, when they came to vote, I was a C-SPAN junkie and I was watching the whole process. And the vote was so close in the Congress. And I remember even Democrat Gephardt, who was leader of the, what you call it, Democrats in the House that time, he was against it. And shortly after that, I think he withdrew from politics. At any rate, but this John Kasich stood in front in 5 minutes' time to justify with the leadership, standing there and justifying that why he voted for it, how good it is. And I remember at the time I was in San Diego, and then I noticed within almost between 3 to 6 months, many of these companies that were in San Diego, they just 45 minutes away from San Diego, Tijuana, and they just moved to the south. And unemployment rate was over 10% became in San Diego area. I don't know about Los Angeles. But my point is that now this John Kasich is claiming without admitting that he made a, as he call, you know, I can say, economical mistake. You know, I don't want to accuse him of, you know, other reasons.
Yeah, your point is there's certainly incongruence between their...
on the country. You know, it doesn't make sense to me.
You're pointing out his incongruence, that's for sure. Yeah. And I agree he's saying something different now than he said before. And some hesitate to call that lying, but I say it's disingenuous, to say the least.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that it costs a lot of jobs, and then when you say jobs, it means families. Families that they lost their income. At any rate.
You're right, sir.
But Donald Trump, there are two major things that I've noticed that I really respect him for that. One of them is he mentioned education. And then he said that, what's that called? With spending more money per capita between the Western countries, we are in the 30th place in one of those debates. Just bringing up the subject of education. And he brought my memory back to President Bush. When I was in San Diego, Secretary of Education, Mr. Page, from Texas, he made a speech for 1 hour, and then he said in that speech that 39% of teachers that are teaching, math and sciences, they do not have a BS degree in universities in that major that they are teaching. And also he added, nationwide, I've got some, you know, in statistics from all of the schools, that these teachers that they are teaching math and sciences, even they haven't had a couple of courses in the subject that they are teaching. So they are using a teacher's guide by teaching. So then what I'm just saying that this teachers' union, that there are about 3.5 million population, they were the first group that endorsed Hillary Clinton.
Yep, you're right about all that. Now, you had another point that you like about Trump?
Another point that he, one was education. Second point that he mentioned about all of the vets that they are not getting proper treatment. And according to one of the radio stations, I was relatively credible, coming from the Defense Ministry, that we had like 116,000 homeless vets that have come from Iran, Afghanistan, and what's that called, Iraq. And now there are 65,000 that are homeless. And he mentions that we are not taking care of our vets. And other people...
I agree, sir.
They have never mentioned that.
So great point.
To tell you that there are people like me that they pay attention to the situation of these poor vets. And my son-in-law, I mean my grandson, friend, they went to volunteer to go to Iraq. And so... there are those kind of people. They have volunteered, now they are homeless, and that is very sad.
I agree with you, sir, and that's why we agree with Trump, and we say we should take care of our vets. I agree.
Yes, yes. Thank you very much for being a good voice on the air.
Thank you, Fred. There he goes, Kurt. You want to run to Fred?
Well, that's nice to hear, Fred. I hope he got the check, you know, for listening. And
no, we don't pay for callers, Kurt. That's the mainstream press house.
It's a little joke, Sam.
I know, but people might think that we really do because there are hosts that do that, sir. And so I just want to make sure people know we don't.
That's right. That's right. And you know, and you listen to Fred, and you know he's got a little accent. But the other thing that I like is that Fred's willing to be involved. And he's watching things. He's been watching things for quite some time. He brings up the whole point of Kasich and where he was. And so many of these globalists, that's their, at least in my opinion, their Achilles heel. They've done this whole shipping all our jobs and everything else overseas and elsewhere just because I guess it was cool with the in crowd. But, man, I'll tell you what. The voters don't really like that.
Well, there you have it. And my response to Fred is, you know what? I may not agree with him on every single point, but I think he's a very well-reasoned thinker. He's engaged. He's involved. I appreciate him. Where I might disagree a little bit is that, you know what? I don't want these teachers to be all certified by more indoctrination centers. So I'm not as worried about their certifications. Because the second you push certification, then pretty soon you start to attack private schools that may not have certified people also. You start to attack homeschools where mothers and fathers oftentimes aren't certified. So it becomes a slippery slope. But his point's well taken, that the education system is off the rails for sure. But anyway, I appreciate Fred. I'm grateful that he's listening, and where he's from, I don't know. But you know what? I'm appreciative that he's involved in the system and the solutions, Kurt. I know that's crazy, but you know.
I couldn't agree more, sir.
All right, speaking of that, I hope Fred knows we shouldn't have parties. The Founding Fathers warned us against partisan politics. Nevertheless, a mainstream headline from USA Today says this, Kurt. USA Today is talking directly about this. Third-party bid may still be in the cards. Party power has gotten weaker, they say. What do you say to that, Kurt?
Well, it's a great opportunity, at least in my opinion, just to point the fact that the whole party system is just messed up. Now, when I say it's messed up, I want to provide solutions, you know, and just instead of just complaining about the problem. And that would simply be, well, one perfect solution is complete elimination of parties. And then, individuals that wanted to run for a particular office would simply, you know, they'd have to be American, you know what I mean, I guess. But other than that, they wouldn't say they're this party or that party, you know. I mean, just imagine that, Sam.
Yeah, Jane M. Orient, Kurt. I don't know if you know who that is. Do you know who that is?
No.
All right, well, Jane Orient, she's a medical doctor, and she's executive director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. Mm-hmm. And her headline says, "Is it Trump that got caught in the abortion trap?" And I think it's a very fair question. I really think it's a fair point. And there's an article that she wrote about this. Trump foes are cheering Chris Matthews and MSNBC for, quote, setting the trap. They think they got what they most need, which is Donald Trump is anti-woman. If abortion were made illegal, then there would be some sort of punishment, Trump first said. But then he said he didn't know what the penalty would be, and then later he backtracked and said no, only the abortion providers or abortionists would be punished, not the woman. And is that a campaign-ending soundbite? Let's think about the issues for a minute longer than the candidate had the chance to think about his answer. Did abortion supporters really trap themselves? She wisely asks. We'll talk about it. Suppose that something's made illegal. There's always a penalty, right? Mr. Matthews, there's penalties, right? Well, we'll set the trap in a second. Hang tight. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R-word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's LibertyNewsRadio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live. So Jane Orient, medical doctor, asks very serious questions. Did Donald Trump get caught in the abortion trap? And I think he did, personally. I think it might take down his whole campaign. It's the backtracking that's the problem. It's the melting down and capitulating to the abortion interests that really is the problem. Nevertheless, Jane Orient wisely asks some questions about this, Kurt, and says, what if Donald Trump would have asked Chris Matthews some hard questions? Or what if we ask Chris Matthews hard questions? There's usually a penalty when laws are broken. Isn't that right, Mr. Matthews? Well, if that's true, then, what about the father who may force a woman to get an abortion? No one's advocating for women to go to jail who were involved here, and I would agree with that. There should be penalties at some point, but we've indoctrinated our society that the murder of children under the abortion lie is okay. We've got to take some time. It's kind of like getting rid of slavery. And I don't want to see slavery. I think slavery is wrong and evil and wicked. Nevertheless, it took time for our founding fathers to rout it out of our society. The founding fathers were advocates of that. I mean, look at the Declaration of Independence. All men are created equal. They start out that way. Interesting idea, right? So I bring this all up, Kurt, though, to say that questions continued. The abortion clinic would be punished. And others. And so why is the mainstream press just attacking Trump in a very narrow discussion? And Trump capitulated. Trump should have started opening up the questions and bringing people to the table that could answer these questions very directly. Okay, all abortions are not equal. All circumstances are not equal. Many times the women are victims. But we should ask the abortion clinics and the leaders of some of these Planned Parenthood organizations, hey, are these abortions just granting greater rights for women? What about before Roe versus Wade, when it was illegal in many cases? Nobody tried to put women in jail. What they tried to do is hold those who are performing the abortions accountable. And so what was missing from this discussion is they really set the trap for Trump was this broader discussion about the truth, Kurt. And anyway, this medical doctor nails it. And I find that interesting because it's the first person that I've seen to really take on this issue, Kurt, like I've done. And good for her for doing it. All right, back to this third-party discussion, Kurt. So even the USA Today is talking about a third party. Third-party bid may still be in the cards because party power has gotten weaker. I applaud this, Kurt. And believe it or not, the only way we might get a person that's against abortion and truly pro-life would be to go third party, Kurt. And I'm waiting for a candidate to emerge. Do you think Trump will go third party? Do you think that we'll really find a real third-party candidate? Parties are weaker, says USA Today, than they've ever been. That's interesting. The Democrats melting down, the Republicans melting down.
Yeah. Do you think that Trump will do that, Sam?
No.
You know, it's
a lot of people thought Trump was pretty bold, but he's backing away from so many things now, Kurt. He's pretty wimpy. He really is.
Yeah, yeah. He does seem.
I mean, in the last month, what has he not backed away from, Kurt?
I'm not aware of anything.
He also does stupid things, Kurt. He tells about how stupid everybody is, but he does stupid things. Why would you publish a very unflattering picture of one of your opponent's wives? Why would you do that? What's the value in that?
Did he do that?
Yeah, on his Twitter feed.
Okay. I was just not sure, you know, I mean, but, you know, it just seems like the one guy years ago that one of my favorite statesmen, he said, hey, you know, in the politics, it just seems like you're wrestling with the hogs. You know, it just seems that it's mudslinging big time, doesn't it?
It is, yes, sir. And I'll tell you what I think should happen. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I think that Rand Paul and Ben Carson ought to create a ticket. It would be a Ben Carson-Rand Paul ticket. Ben would be the presidential candidate. The VP pick would be Rand Paul. They would both unsuspend. Is that the right word?
Yeah, unsuspend their campaigns.
I don't know if you should say unsuspend or if you should say reinstitute or reconstitute. What, I don't know how to.
Yeah, I just don't know.
Anyway, make their campaigns live again, whatever you do to do that. But then they ought to just simply say we're going third party. We believe the American people really want an option. We believe this is the only way to give that option. And you would do two things by doing that. One, it would be very hard for Trump to go third party if there's already some serious third party candidates. And I believe that Ben Carson and Rand Paul, believe it or not, could get on the campaign trail and really work together for solutions, Kurt. And not that I think those would be the best candidates. I think there's other candidates that would be better. But they're not really in the offings. They're not really available right now. They're not really willing to crank it up. These guys have already got everything set up that it would take to really run. And both of them can actually raise money quite well. Of course, Carson better than Rand can raise money. And that's why Carson should be presidential candidate and Rand. But neither of them have any problems with questions of eligibility. Both of them actually have a very kind Christian viewpoint, Kurt, that could do very well. Both of them did quite well in the polls at first till the mainstream press manipulated things to their disadvantage. I think that's what ought to happen. I think it'll be fascinating to watch.
Yeah. Do you think it'll happen?
No, sir. Because Rand is too busy trying to be senator, Kurt. You know.
The way you see it happening now, you know, kind of like lay out the next... you know, so many months till we get to the campaign, till we get to the election. Can you do that?
Can you do what?
I'm not lay sure it out on what you see happening. I mean, take us through the Republican and Democrat
conventions. In my opinion, what they'll do is they'll create all kinds of broker conventions for Donald. And they may not even do it at the broker convention status. They may do it before we ever get there. And Trump will see the writing on the wall and make different choices. He might take somebody else as his VP pick to settle the score, and then they might, you know, stop their opposition. Like, for example, I mean, let's just say that Trump...
Do you see Cruz and Trump working together at all?
I don't, personally.
Okay.
Only because you see more and more divisiveness, not more and more, you know, working together.
Yeah. Yeah.
The problem is the Bushes have all jumped on the Cruz bandwagon, too. Mm-hmm. And so I just don't really see that. I could be wrong, but I don't. It might be that Trump picks Christie. It might be that Cruz picks Bush or Rubio. Mm-hmm. And the battle will be on. What they'll do is they'll push for some kind of contested reality. That's what I think will happen. Eventually, I think it'll be, I don't know who, but probably Cruz and whoever his running mate will be against Hillary Clinton. And we'll probably have a Clinton White House. I said that literally a year ago about this, Kurt, that I think there's a very good likelihood Clinton will be the president. Not that I think she should, but I think that the Americans are stupid enough to let that happen. That's why I think a third-party candidate needs to emerge quickly, Kurt, to really, really change the game. What people will say, though, is a third-party candidate will just get Clinton in the White House even further. That all depends on how Americans vote is the answer to that, Kurt.
That's right. It does matter, doesn't it?
Everybody wants to say, you throw your vote away, Sam, you this, you that. Oh, you're just going to force Hillary to win. No, you're not. You're going to vote for who you believe is a good, honest, wise person to carry forward the ball for the American people and for the Constitution. and let the chips fall where they may. And if enough Americans believe in the right cause and stand for the right principles and purpose and people, then we'll be okay, and otherwise we won't. But I still support a good third-party, pro-life, American Christian candidate to run that doesn't have eligibility questions, that doesn't have all kinds of moral, what's the word for that, gaffes? Is that what they say?
Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice just to see all the third parties unite and say, "Hey, we're calling for the elimination of parties."
I would love that, but I don't see it happening. Because
right.
The libertarians are oftentimes pro-abortion, or they're pro-choice, if you want to call it that lie. And then the Constitution Party is very constitutional, and you know, there's issues there about us getting together as a people, but we ought to. That's why I think Ben Carson, Rand Paul would be one of the best tickets. And see, I'd love to get a hold of Ben and Rand and talk to them about that potential or opportunity, but I don't even know how to get a hold of any of them. They're so elitist that I can't even get a hold of them, Kurt.
Good point. I guess Carson is lately saying that there's going to be a heck to pay if they come up with somebody else as the nominee besides Trump.
That's
or
right.
Cruz.
And Carson's right. Here's the other problem that I see with it. I see that Ben Carson has already virtually endorsed Trump, and as a result, how does he back out of that and go third party? That's a problem. The problem is I don't know who else I'd put Rent. Maybe you could put David A. Clark Jr., Sheriff of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and Rand Paul together.
It'd sure be a great campaign to be able to support like David A. Clark and Sheriff Mack crossing the country together. Pointing out all those good things, it'd just be cool to see, but I don't think it's in the cards.
Right. So we'll work on that too, but all I'm telling you is we got a road to hoe with all this stuff. I don't know who could really run or who would be serious about running. I don't know who could put the campaign finances together. I'd love a David A. Clark Jr., Richard Mack campaign. Kurt, the problem is I don't see where they'd raise any real money.
Yeah. It takes so much money. It really does.
It's a sad tale to tell. You got to have at least a couple of $100 million to get it done. I mean, you know, they say $1 billion have been spent. And we haven't even got out of the primaries yet, right?
Yep. Good point.
So what to do, I know not, but I know this. I got to have a pro-life candidate that doesn't believe in dishonest money. And I got to have somebody that believes in the Christian morality of our founding fathers. It's going to be a road to hoe to find somebody. You know, Jim Clymer wanted me to run on the Constitution Party ticket, Kurt, but I just can't do it. There's no money. All right. There you have it. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. Hopefully it was educational and entertaining. And LibertyRoundtable.com is our website for live and on-demand radio at your fingertips. LibertyNewsDaily.com for incredible news. LibertyNewsRadio.com to see what other hosts are available on Liberty News Radio. RepublicBroadcasting.com. Or no, .org. RepublicBroadcasting.org. This nation shall endure.